This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. It's your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We've got a super exciting show. A world-renowned, award-winning novelist, short story, poetry. She's done it all in her short life, we'll say. But we got Eleanor Lerman coming on the show, and her latest book is King, the Wonder Dog, and other stories. So short stories and a little bit of heart-tugging in the book. So we're going to talk to Eleanor a little bit about the book and also talk to her a little bit about her writing and writing styles. So we'll learn all of her techniques so we can apply them to what we do every day. So it's going to be a great show. You're going to learn a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun. So everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is award-winning author. She does collections of poetry, short stories, novels, literary magazines. She's done a little bit of everything. Of course, we're talking about Eleanor Lerman. Eleanor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Super excited about the book. The latest is King the Wonder Dog and Other Stories. So it's short stories that I found obviously were interesting, tugged at your heart, and shows once again how our cats and dogs can be there and step up when we need them most.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the book itself and maybe a little bit about some of the stories that are within it.
The book is a collection of short stories in which people, women and men, are in some sort of difficulty. Some of them are older, some of them are ill, and, you know, they're looking for something to help them get through a dark time in their life. And in different ways, it turns out that a pet, a dog usually, although there's one cat in the collection. The interaction between the people and the animal is what I think I was trying to show, is that the interaction is more than the two pieces by themselves. And, you know, we sometimes make our pets, people, especially nowadays, people tend to treat their dogs as if they were their children. And that's not what's going on in this book. In this book, the animals are really there as a way of sparking the person to understand more about their life and to find some way through a very difficult time. So the dog is not their child. The dog is sort of the epitome of some way of finding help. And so they turn to their relationship with the dog to help them through a dark time, even though they may not realize that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic how you captured all the different nuances of it. Because, you know, when we go through a lot in our life, especially as we get older, and, you know, we see a lot, we have a lot of illnesses, maybe of our own or people around us, people we've known that are part of our family or friends that now transitioned. And then we go through challenges such as, you know, I know one of the stories about losing a pet as far as a missing pet. And trying to reunite with that missing pet and what goes on with that. I think it's fascinating, though, because I've always said that, you know, our animals, especially our dogs and cats, which we spend a lot of time with, you know, they really are our master healers and our teachers, and they can mend bonds and they can build bonds between two people. And I think oftentimes we don't slow down long enough to realize that much deeper meaning in what they bring to us.
I think it's also important, though, to remember that they aren't magic. They aren't our children and they aren't magic. They're animals. And they react to us, whatever we put into them is pretty much what we get out of it. So they can't solve our problems. They can't, contact the great beyond to solve our problems. But what they can do is help us when we're feeling something bad, especially, or something sad or scary. The animal, looks you in the eye and is sort of saying, look at me, just look at me. Hold on to me. I can't fix you, but hold on to me and we'll get through this. I think there is only one story in the book, and that's the cat, where the cat is in some ways a magical animal. She does something very mysterious for her owner that he doesn't understand. She brings him strange little gifts. And at the end, he doesn't quite understand, but he's appreciative of the fact that she's bringing him these little odd gifts like a leaf. But most of the stories, the animals are their pets. They're not magic. They're not solving problems. They're there to reflect what the person needs of them. And that's really what they do.
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, the stories themselves, first of all, how did the idea and the concept of the book come about? And then how did you imagine there were stories galore that you've experienced and others around you have experienced? How did you weed through that collection to come up with the ones you felt really drove home the meaning of the book, or what you hope to drive home the meaning of the book?
I actually have to thank the publisher of She Writes Press, who published this book, Brooke Warner, because when I sent her the collection, it actually had a lot of other stories that didn't have anything to do with animals in it. And it was her idea. She said, there are so many really wonderful stories here in which an animal, a pet, plays an important role. Why don't we just put the other stories aside for another time? And when I thought about it, I figured she's right. There is a theme that runs through the book if it's just these stories. And I think, people keep asking me a question about how I wrote the stories. I can't quite remember, but I think my way of writing is I just sit down every day and I work and I tell myself what I'm going to do. And in this case, I guess I was telling myself pets, animals, dogs in particular. So I think what I did was I sat down every day over the course of a couple of months and just wrote these stories. So every story that I wrote during that time is in the book.
Nice. Now, these are fictional stories,
yes.
Creative stories. So they are life stories. I'm sure you or your readers definitely have experienced, but you wrote them from a fictional standpoint. So the things, yes, that came to mind. Now, where'd you pull from that? You said, okay, I'm sitting down, I'm doing my daily task of writing, or my daily glory of writing. And it's about animals, about pets. Then how do you manifest it from there? Where do you pull that idea of a story out to match what you're looking for?
It's hard to explain. I have, thank God, I've never had like writer's block. I think I must just have a whole bunch of stuff swirling around in my head. And a good example is in the title story, King the Wonder Dog, there's a husband and a wife, and the wife is wearing golden bracelets like Wonder Woman. That's what started this story 50 years ago. I had a friend named Cassandra who had these golden Wonder Woman bracelets. 50 years ago was a bigger thing because Wonder Woman was a bigger thing.
We still love Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So I guess I had in my head, oh yeah, Cassandra, the bracelets. And that's where the whole story started. It simply started with these bracelets. And I built the story around what would happen if she had the bracelets and what would it mean. And that's where the story came from. And even though it really has very little to do with the bracelets, they were the spark that started the story.
I love that because, there are many, many books out there and a lot of great books out there that are collections of stories, real life stories that people have gone through. And, the author perhaps adds their own stories as the headline, and then they have subsequent stories. And then I hear a lot about, okay, as you mentioned, sit down, write a book. This book's about dogs. What can I add to this that would be interesting? You know, the dog finds this or the dog does that. And you're saying that you glean this all from, hey, I remember my good friend from 50 years ago that had Wonder Woman gold bracelets. And here we go.
Yeah, that's how that started. And, you know, I could go through the other stories and tell you what was the germ that from which the flower grew. But, you know, I just pull something. Like I said, there must be in my head cabinets and cabinets and cabinets full of things. And I will say a lot of the places, the real living geography of where these people live does have a lot to do with where I have lived in my life. A lot of the stories, almost all these stories, are New York City and Greenwich Village in particular, because when I was 18, I moved myself to the Village, which was a very, very different place than it is now. And I lived there for about 18 years. And so a lot of what I remember about the Village turns up in these stories and other parts. I lived when I was a child. I lived in the Bronx. We lived in Rockaway for a while. So the places, that's also an important part of how I start stories, is I'll ask myself, where is it set? Because if I know the place that the story starts, then I can begin.
And it's fascinating also because the fact that, as you just said, you know, different parts, obviously, of New York and any major city has changed and grown. You know, if you happen to leave the city and go back 20 years later, I'm sure there's a few bits that still remain, but the rest of it has probably changed or grown or been altered as far as who lives there now and how the climate is in that area.
Yeah, well, the Village, you know, when I was a kid, I was paying $400 a month for rent, you know, and now it would, I don't know, thousands and thousands of dollars. I was running a workshop where we made parts for harpsichords because for some reason people like to build harpsichords. I don't know why, but now it's a big international company. So, you know, that was my life. It was, the Village was really what people think of, the kind of artsy place where you could go as a kid with very little money and find your way and, you know, build a life. And that's what I did. You could not possibly do that now. You know, you'd have to have a big bag full of money to even find a place to live. So the Village that I'm remembering is gone, but I still know the streets. And so the streets and the names of places can still fit into the stories.
Yeah. And I think that comes through in the book as well. And the fact that those that if you're not from there, I could feel that. I could see what you're telling me here visually in my mind's eye. You know, if someone was from there, whether it's now or when they grew up in that area, it really throws them back to that time.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back right after this, continue our conversation with author Eleanor Lorman and talk to her a little bit more about her book, King the Wonder Dog, and other stories. So everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continuing our conversation with award-winning author and writer Eleanor Lerman in her latest book, King, the Wonder Dog, and Other Stories. So, Eleanor, when people pick up a copy of the book and they get to feel everything that you put into it, I feel the healing of the stories and learn even more about our dogs and cats and how they are great teachers and healers. What do you hope that the reader gets from the book? Did you go into it with a certain goal that, hey, if somebody told me they got this out of it, then I feel good about that? Or was it something else?
I don't usually think about what's going to happen when people read the stories because, you know, I can't control any of that. I went into this thinking really about I was getting older. And that was very confronting to me. It's almost like I used to be 25, now I'm 74. How did that happen? So I was thinking about what happens to people as they get older and they have, you know, there's one story in which a woman walks into a big department store in New York City, Macy's, and she hasn't been there in a while. And suddenly they've moved the dress department. She can't find the handbags. And it's that sort of thing. Like, where did my life go? I don't understand. I can't even find the dress department. So I was thinking about that. What happens as we get older and how frightening it is and confronting it is. And, you know, one of my favorite lines is from Leonard Cohen. And he said, "I ache in places where I used to play," referring to your body.
Yes.
And I thought of it, you know, that it was that, you know, it just doesn't work physically, you know, my body doesn't work the way it used to. And so it was that. It was more the feeling of I'm going to write about getting older and I had gone through some illnesses. And so also about how do you survive really difficult illnesses and also being alone, because a lot of people, when they're getting older, you know, their friends melt away and there isn't as much family around. And so it was that. It was trying to take the very sad things that affect us when we're older and find a way to at least bring some healing to that and some sense of peace. And that's what the dog and the cat are reflections of. But again, they're not magic. They can only help you as much as you feel that you can help yourself. And so it was really about that. And, you know, I apologize to anybody who's reading the book. All the years I've been writing, I don't think I've ever thought about what will people think when they read this book. When you're young, you know, whatever kind of artist you are, painter, actor, writer, you think, oh, I'm going to be famous and my life is going to be wonderful. You find out very soon along the way, none of that is going to happen. So you can't worry so much about the externals. You have to focus on your work. You have to focus on your art. And because that's the only thing you can control. And so that's what you do. You work as an artist, you know, even with very little reward, you work at it. And if people find something healing or helpful or funny about what you've written, that's wonderful. Or, you know, a painting you've made or something. But I don't think you can think about that when you're an artist. You can't think about what are people going to think about my work because you'd be paralyzed. You just have to think about how do I write this story?
I love that. Well, I think it's a very good lesson, you know, in the fact that you write what you know, or you write what's in your heart, you write what comes to you. And if it touches someone or if it has an impact on someone, then that's fantastic. If not, you've done what you set out to do as a writer or, you know, or an artist of any sort. You poured yourself into it, and then what comes out of it, you hope has an impact. If it does, great. That's, if not, well, on to the next one, right?
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk about every day you write, every day you get up and you do your routine and you start to write. How do you stay excited, motivated about it, first of all? And then secondly, you've written for a lot of different genres and a lot of different areas, from magazines to writing books to writing poetry. How do you decide on what you're going to write? Is it whoever's offering you the money to pay the bills at the time, or is it, I feel like doing this today?
First of all, other than I've gotten grants and I've won a couple of awards.
Yeah.
I've never made any money, you know, from these books. They're usually published by independent presses and, you know, so they cost me more money than I make, which is fine. I mean, this is the route I've chosen. So what I do is I get up every morning. I have a purple couch in an office I share with my wife, and she uses the room in the afternoon. I use it in the morning. So I go sit on the purple couch, and usually my dog is here with me, which she is right now. She's asleep. And it's work. I don't know how else to explain it. I've been doing this since I was a child. When my mother died when I was very young, like 13. But before the year before she died, she gave me a present. She gave me a typewriter. Yeah. And, you know, in those days, it was a manual typewriter. So she gave me a little gray manual typewriter, which is still sitting on my desk now.
Nice.
So I must have been doing this since I was a kid. I've been writing. And so for me, it's not even about being excited, or it's just, God, I don't know how to explain it. It makes me feel the way nothing else does. It makes me feel I'm in control of the world I'm in. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this. And I don't even know how to say I enjoy it, but on some very deep level, it must be extremely satisfying to me because I've been doing it forever. And how do I choose which mode, fiction or poetry? I tend to write books. So I'll write a collection of poetry and I know that that's finished. And then probably I'll go write fiction for a while. So that's what I think I at this point in my life, I think that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm writing books, meaning I'm writing collections. So that also helps me keep on track for what I'm doing.
That's nice. That's nice. And you've spent a life and continue your life doing exactly what you wanted to do.
Yeah. And it hasn't always been easy. And there have been times when there was a time in my life for a long time I stopped writing for a whole bunch of reasons. But when I went back to it, I always say I felt like whatever it is was waiting for me. Because when I went back to it, it was like, oh, hi, you're back. Okay. And I went back to work. So yeah, it's always been there.
Nice. I love it. Well, everybody go out and pick up a copy of the book. I'm sure it's available nationwide, all your independent stores and online. It's King, the Wonder Dog, and Other Stories by Eleanor Lerman. And we'll post your website, but where can people find out more about you and what you got going on, where you're going to be maybe, so they can meet you, any of that good stuff?
Actually, I don't do readings anymore. I used to do it a lot. I don't do it so much anymore. But, you know, all you have to do is go to Amazon or go to my website, which is just my name, or Google my name. And terrifyingly to me, you will get like hundreds and hundreds of links to look at. So if anybody is that interested in me, I'm very easy to find.
There you go.
My email is on my website, and anyone's welcome to write to me.
Nice. Nice. That's perfect. Well, we'll get all that posted so everybody can check out what's going on and look at your life through social media. So, well, once again, everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's King, the Wonder Dog, and Other Stories by Eleanor Lerman. Eleanor, thanks so much for coming on the show. Congratulations on their success. And look forward to chatting with you somewhere down the road.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, you can visit us at PetLifeRadio.com. And we're glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. While you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia barking fun. It's at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.